If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Today, we are chatting and we are chilling with one of my favorite people, Zach Blobner from 95.3 WDAE in Tampa. A guy that I've been chopping it up with on some form of audio for, I don't even know how long. How long have you and I been going back and forth about this wacky, wild sports world? Like, I know the first time you and I were ever on air, because I drove to Tampa in order to be in studio with you, and we immediately started arguing with each other, and I'm like, got it. We got the magic, but I can't even remember when that was.
I mean, at least half a decade. I think we're not quite to the 10-year mark. We got a few years on that, but we're in between that 5 to 10-year span. Half a decade plus is a pretty good span of time to be chatting sports again with somebody that you can kind of go back and forth with a little bit. And man, it's been crazy. It's been a wild ride. And the landscape of sports is just such a beautiful thing, because we know it changes season to season. But working in the industry, and obviously us both being in different cities, even in the same state, we just kind of get to ride the wave. And that doesn't even include the uniqueness of the pandemic years, where I feel like we're trying to pull every trick we had out of our magic hat there.
Well, I do want to talk about that. I had that written in my notes for us to discuss, given that we are recording this on March 12th, which is a pretty important day in the history of not just sports, but and not just the country, but the world, as far as things shutting down. Do you remember the first argument that you and I got into on the radio when I drove my ass to Tampa and you and I chopped it up in the studios over there? We took callers and everything. I mean, it was like a test show to see if you and I had any on-air chemistry whatsoever. And then I remember a debate forming. Do you recall what that was?
I don't. I know, like, I remember some of our bigger ones, like Tua versus Herbert in the draft was a big one.
Yes, that was a big one.
But that
this,
was
so
later.
This one particular, if I'm probably missing a detail, but nobody will be able to call me on it anyway. It was about ranking the in-state quarterbacks at the time, which I think was Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, and Ryan Tannehill.
That tracks.
And I'm pretty sure I had Bortles at the top.
That also tracks. I mean, there's no right order, right? We know enough about those three QBs now. Honestly, I mean, I guess if we're going even off their prime, probably Tannehill, right? Like, at his peak in Miami there, and the orange jerseys on Halloween. All three had highlights. All three had a lot of lowlights. And
mostly that.
Blake
Bortles still had the most playoff success out of any of those guys. By a mile.
You know, it's crazy. So, like, even if we did that right now, I don't know if we'd agree with Baker, Tua, and Trevor Lawrence. I mean, we could obviously, I think, disseminate, like, the most talented and
well,
go
shoot.
In that order.
Give me your breakdown. How would you rank them? Because we've had this conversation on the live show, ranking Baker or Tua against anybody is fun because of how polarizing they are in their abilities. But, yeah, that's a good way to phrase it. How would you have it as far as, you know, let's not stretch this too far. You're trying to win. You're trying to win right now. So maybe just like one particular season, 1 to 2 year build. How would you have it ranked between those three?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I'd probably put Tua at the top. I mean, I know obviously the argument with Tyreek Hill versus without, like, in the concussions. Certainly no three of those guys are perfect products. I think I actually would have Tua at the top. Honestly, the way Baker played last year, I put Baker ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, two seasons ago where they got into the postseason and they made some noise, looked good. And at times last year, he looked good. But as you know, through the shows that we do, I've had Trevor Lawrence on a lot of fantasy teams. So I've kept a very close eye on him. And you want to talk about roller coasters. I mean, given, you know, Baker throughout his career, there's a lot to point to warts-wise on his game. But for me, like, I'm not sold on Trevor Lawrence. I think, again, talent-wise, he's the best of the three. But in terms of the NFL and faith in the next season or two, which guy do I like? I'd probably put Tua at the top, slightly above Baker, who's only slightly above Trevor. I think they're all close. But I think most people would just kind of toss that to the side for Trevor to probably be at the top. But that's how I feel.
Trevor Lawrence was missing receivers left and right at the end of last season. I'm wondering if there was some sort of injury. He seems like a tough guy.
Don't make excuses for him.
I'm just saying that might be a part of it. I think you're right, though. Tua should be at the top. I can't put Trevor any lower than two because of his abilities and his upside. And I'd have Baker at three. But this group is not like the last one we talked about, because these three, all three are good. I'll take all three of these guys over all three of the ones that we battled about years ago between Bortles, Tannehill, and Winston.
Yeah, but like thinking, so like Baker has more playoff wins than Winston did because Jameis never made it. Tua's been to the playoffs as much as Tannehill. I don't think he has any.
I'm not sure if Tannehill ever got to the playoffs with Miami.
The one year where they went in and got bludgeoned by, was it Baltimore? Or was that the Wildcat year? Or maybe, I know Tannehill had a year where I thought it was Tannehill against the Steelers too. But either way.
So I know he never won one. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. So Tua at worst is level with Tannehill in that regard, if not above. I just mentioned Jameis behind Baker. And then Bortles had the big run, right? So like, and that, which is similar to Trevor's. So, I mean, they're kind of comparable in a way, but the difference is the other three guys still have a lot of runway in front of them.
Yeah, we also know crystal clear hindsight how bad all three of those turned out to be. When you and I host the Fantasy Fix together throughout the course of the NFL season, I miss it dearly, but we are in prep mode already with NFL free agency. I can't help but look, even though we're in March, I can't help but look at all these different signings in free agency and think about what this means for the landscape in fantasy. You kind of look at things the same way when you see Saquon to the Eagles and Josh Jacobs to the Packers. Does your mind immediately sort of bend in that direction, or are you able to compartmentalize the year?
Not for the big signings, right? Because you're going to have a Philly fan take Saquon in every league in like the first to second round. Like,
that's going to bump them up.
Right. So like a lot of these guys, landing spots, same thing with Jacobs because Aaron Jones is out. I look at a guy like Tony Pollard with the last year's rookie Spears, who will be a sophomore now in Tennessee. And I'm like, who do we like? Right. Like, those are the ones where I'm interested. You know, Aaron Jones just signed in Minnesota. I don't think there's a lot of competition there right now, so that's a little different. But I'm thinking about the guys that are going places where you know they're going to get RB reps. They're either going to split or get a slight edge as the starter. And you're like, okay, are they first rounders? Are they second? Is this my value back? Is this the guy that I take and wins me a league? Those are the ones I look at most, because if it's a first round guy, you're working with ADP, you're working with, you know, where they're going to most likely go in almost every league regardless. So the ones I get really interested are those on the running back side. And then in the receiver room, which, you know, not a ton of movement, obviously. Evans is sticking around. T. Higgins, like, he's a guy, right, where he's splitting time with Ja'Marr Chase. You love him with Joe Burrow. But even as wide receiver two or 1B, however you want to look at it, like, do you like T. Higgins more if he goes to, like, say, a Tennessee? Because he'll be wide receiver one, but the offense takes a big hit from what Joe Burrow is doing in Cincy. So those are the scenarios I look at, the guys that are going to potentially have value and aren't a surefire, you know, home run.
It's funny you mentioned Saquon getting overdrafted in Philadelphia. That'll definitely be true. Probably underdrafted in New York because of the spite that involves that. A more under-the-radar guy, but in our neck of the woods, get ready for Gabe Davis to be overdrafted again because he's now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as of right now, there's not a lot of competition there. This guy gives you the exact same stat line every single year. You can never know when to trust him. I'm saying this out loud, Zach, so I don't get myself gassed up. Don't let me start to sell you on Gabe Davis by the time we start the year. As of right now, I see it for what it is. I'm not buying it. He kind of is what he is. He's a good bye week replacement and nothing more.
100%. Yeah, that was one that I saw and I was like, okay. Like, you know, like, does it change his value literally at all? I would say no. I'd say if anything, he takes a hit, kind of like the argument I was just hypothetically making with Higgins if he goes somewhere else other than Burrow. I just mentioned to you the roller coaster of Trevor Lawrence. Give me Josh Allen tossing the rock over T-Law, especially with, you know, Diggs starting to get inconsistent in Buffalo. So you get Gabe Davis in Jacksonville, and am I supposed to buy him as, like, this guy that's going to be catching 5 to 8 passes a game for close to 100 yards? No, he's the home run hit. He's still the same guy where, yeah, he might give you 2 touchdowns and 150 in 1 week, but he could give you 2 catches for 5 in the next, right? So I'm with you. I'm not buying him as a big home run hit, but he'll definitely – he won't win leagues, but he'll win some weeks for some folks.
So I do want to get your thoughts on Tampa Bay's free agency. We'll wrap the episode with that. As uncomfortable as this might be, I want to take a look back to 4 years ago, because this is a time of year, the exact time of year when the world shut down. Rudy Gobert started smacking microphones, and all of a sudden the sports world kind of went away for a minute. I figured we'd go with a little blast from the past, especially since you and I were trying to figure out any sort of way to remain interesting and relevant and entertain folks. What do you remember about when you found out, the day that you found out, man, this world that we live in of talking sports every day is about to be a whole lot different? Do you remember? Is that sort of like a, not to compare the two, but we all remember what we were doing during 9/11. This is sort of similar for me as far as, like, I remember that moment in time when you started to get the alerts on the phone and what the next day on radio was like trying to talk about all of it.
Yeah, for me, still in basketball, they started shutting down the conference tournaments, though, in college.
That was the first thing. Yeah.
And I'm like, they're like not canceling games, shutting down tournaments. And I'm like, well, there's no way they're going to be able to do March Madness. Because at that point, you're like, okay, pushing things back. That's where your mind goes. Not shutting down, pushing things back. Then they start literally shutting down tournaments. You couple that with, you know, the news of Rudy Gobert. The MLB situation was a mess because they were in between negotiations too, between the Players Association and Major League Baseball. And they're like, yeah, we're just going to take a pause because we're going to have to start shutting down spring training. Like, there was just such a mess of it. But again, for me, it was shutting down entire conference tournaments and then canceling March Madness to where I was like, there's no end in sight. We have no idea. You know, one thing that will always stick out, not necessarily sports wise, is Tom Hanks announcing that he had COVID. Cause that was, I think, what made it somewhat real for people in terms of the reality of what we were dealing with. And then for you and I, you know, in the sports world, it's like, well, as this is all shutting down, I think it was actually easy to cover on the front end because it was like reporting on things shutting down. We were saying, okay, this league's done. This is what we're talking. We had all that news, and then a week passed and it got a little harder. And then 2 weeks passed and it got harder and it became more real. And then a month and a half later, we're like, man, we're starving. We're starving. We're talking about hypotheticals. We're ranking quarterbacks, like you mentioned.
Do you remember the obsession with The Last Dance that going on at that time?
Which hit at the right time. Tiger King too, right? Another big show that really was fortunate to hit during the pandemic. And then the real first live sport event was the match with Tom Brady and the other three golfers there. That was the first.
And we were watching that like it was the Masters.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because they just had their like fifth or sixth one. I'm not watching anymore. The ratings were so low. And I'm like, I like the novelty of it, but the reason it was so good is because it was the first live sporting event and it had Tom freaking Brady in it. Like, especially here in Florida, where he was about to start his, you know, career with the Bucks, that 3-year run, which obviously ended in a Lombardi trophy. So those are the big things. We definitely started to, you know what else too, though, Brandon, even though we didn't have a lot of sports to break down, I felt the engagement, the interaction with our listenership went up in ways. I remember I called Jameis Winston a bust on one of the shows that we did trying to like fill time and fill space. People lost their minds. And usually you expect that from the Seminole, you know, faithful, but it felt bigger. And it felt bigger because there was less information out there. There was less going on.
I think we realized how much we all needed each other. We need the audience. need us because we're part of that daily routine. And even with sports not spinning in the background, it was like, well, we can still do this. We can still hang out, right? And we were doing that. And you and I feel like I look back on that time somewhat fondly because we're idea guys, sometimes to a fault, love coming up with different things to do. And that was a time when those 2 weeks passed where you got done with the reporting of this is shut down, that's shut down, that guy has COVID or whatever. No idea was a bad idea. If you had an idea, that thing got rushed to the front of the line. And that was clean across the board, not just for us, but everywhere. And we set, not we, but like sports media set different standards. These sort of conversations, like your look right now on video, you would see that on ESPN right now. That was never a thing before 2020. You couldn't just pop up a phone, hold it up with headphones plugged into your ears and a wire hanging down. And now it's like commonplace. Let's just do this from anywhere. As long as we keep the conversation going, we're good. And that was not the case 2019 and prior. I like the idea that the standards have changed. It's made things easier, more interesting, more engaging, like you said. And some ideas were only good at the time. And some ideas have persisted beyond that. I think one of those, of course, was the Sunshine State Showdown, which was a lot of fun for you and I to be able to partner with, but wasn't something that sustained past the pandemic.
Yeah, 100% on the technology part of it. Not that we weren't heading in that direction, but it was moving at a turtle time pace, snail pace, and it literally turned into a rocket because they were like, hey, if you want to do shows, you have to do this. And then once you started it, there was no reason to stop because it was helping you. It was improving your product, improving your brand, your ability to reach out to others. Yeah, it's wild, like the things that have changed and stuck versus the things that haven't. I do feel, though, that slowly I'm seeing like a small trickle of everybody that jumped into the podcast game, you know, the vlog game. You saw this like massive amount of people getting in because everybody had time on their hands and the technology was available. I think you're starting to see like not a lot, but like little trickles of the traditional media kind of starting to stand its ground again and separate itself again, not in a major way. You know, you even think about things like Pat McAfee, right? Started on YouTube. He was a YouTube channel. Now he's a massive brand at ESPN. And I just, again, I don't think it's going to go completely back to the way it was, but man, radio flag in the ground, like giving them bias, but it really never goes away. It never stops waving. And I think that breeze is starting to get a little stronger again. It feels like it, at least from where I'm sitting.
Yeah. And I think 2020 had a lot to do with that because that would have been a time when radio probably should have gone away and it didn't. And now it stands firm. All right, let's wrap this conversation with some Bucks talk. Baker Mayfield back with Tampa. They're running it back. The contract, 3 years, $100 million. You know, you can get cute with a couple of numbers either way, $50 million in practical guarantees, 40 worst case scenario if, you know, he were to like break his hand in week one. But what did you think of the contracts? Is it feels like both sides kind of won here. Baker gets a significant pay raise. And the Bucks aren't paying through the teeth like some other teams inside of their division.
Well, let's start with Baker. Guy was making $4 million last year. Was on his third team in less than a year, right after the year in Carolina / with the Rams at the end of the season. So good for him. Guy was Pro Bowl MVP by the end of it all, a division champ, won a playoff game, battled. He became a popular quarterback again. You can argue if he's good, but he became a popular quarterback again last year. He deserved every penny of what he got. So it was awesome to see him go from $4 million to, again, $33 million per and really work on a deal where incentive-wise he can get up to like $38 million if he continues to perform like he did last year for the Bucks. Now, that's nice. Want to give him his love. The Bucks won the hell out of this deal. They have an out completely clean after 2 years, a cheap out next year if they decide that they don't want to keep rolling with him. Let's say he's, you know, not injury wise. Let's just say he's not good. Let's say he looks like he did in Carolina and the Bucks are like, I don't know about year two. And even if they stick with him year two, again, they have an even cleaner out in year three at $33.5 million base in terms of the cap hit. I'm thinking about guys like Daniel Jones, who makes $40 million, Deshaun Watson, fully guaranteed. There's some contracts out there, even Derek Carr, who played worse than Baker last year in the same division, at, I think closer to 38-40. I love the deal. I think it was great for the Bucks. I love the outs. I love the length. I love the amount that they're paying him. Again, people that are like, it's still overpaying him. You know, he's not going to repeat what he did last year. It should have been 25. It's not the market. That's not how inflation works. Geno in a similar spot got 25 2 years ago. Guess what? Yeah. That price went up. So I love it for the Bucks. I love it for Baker. Again, we'll see. Time will tell, you know. But really, the only thing that would count against him is if he wasn't good this upcoming season. And even in that scenario, again, they have an out.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those trades where you look and you're supposed to have a hot take on it, but really both sides win. It feels like both sides won this one. I've called this the Brady effect, the idea that the Bucks needed to hold on to Baker because Baker provided them with wins. And it didn't matter if it was wins with the upside of a Super Bowl or whatever. It was just simply wins. And Tom Brady, when he walked in the door, I think changed the culture of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where all of a sudden, like a lot of the best franchises in sports, I use the Miami Heat as a good example. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Are we putting our best foot forward? Are we trying to win? And it feels like Tom Brady may have changed the vibe within the Bucs organization. Is it fair to draw that comparison that Brady has created sort of a healthy addiction to winning for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's why this deal gets done?
100%. And I think it's so hard to quantify culture impact, right? Like, that's like what we bring up when we're trying to describe why things are going good or bad, and there's not as much logic to it. But I think that this is a clear example of how culture from Brady has gotten better and impacted the team from all kinds of different ways. Not just Baker, right? Baker gets to town. He's got to pick it up from where Brady left off. He actually had a better season than Tom Brady did in his last year with the Bucs this past season himself in Tampa Bay, right? They won the division just like the Bucs did, but they won it with 9 games, not 8. They won the playoff game instead of getting blasted. And then they competed pretty damn good in Detroit in that second one. So he actually improved on what Brady did, at least from his last season. But I look at things like Mike Evans keeping his body in shape in a way he wasn't at least as much before, because Tom Brady comes in with the TB12 method, explains to these guys outside of the quarterback of the team that wasn't there, hey, you got to take care of yourself. You got to keep yourself in shape. And you're seeing the older players step their game up. You're seeing the younger guys like an Antoine Winfield Jr. or Tristan Wirfs completely be smart about it on the front end of their careers, their rookie contracts. So that's a big cultural impact. You mentioned the signing. I think you look at a guy like Jason Light. Look at the Bucks legends in the past, Warren Sapp, obviously John Lynch. Like, they went elsewhere. The Glazers, the ownership group, like, not necessarily retaining these legends, kind of ushered Brooks into retirement. They re-signed Mike Evans. They just did this with Lavonte David last year. They're doing a great job of keeping their guys, and that's credit to Jason Light. Again, because I think they realize the cohesiveness and the leadership that you get from those legends and how invaluable it is when you're talking about wins. So there's just so many different aspects that you can quantifiably point to that you can't always when you're talking culture, but you can hear. And it's impossible not to say that because of Brady and that Lombardi 3 years ago, these effects, you know, that's why they're being felt, because of that guy and that trophy. And it's really cool. It's really cool to see here. And look, the expectation in Tampa Bay is winning the division and making it into the playoffs every year now. So whether they, you know, can win a Super Bowl is a different chat. We definitely can have that argument about any of the 32 teams, though, outside of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You can follow him at Zach on the mic on social. You can also find him live from noon to 3 p.m. on 95.3 WDAE, all part of the J&Z show. Appreciate the extended visit, my friend. Always a pleasure to chop it up, even if we had to look back to 2020.
Appreciate you. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, my business. Your go-to source for audio production of any kind, commercials, live endorsements, podcast production as well. You know, we can make you sound this good. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. You can follow this show on Facebook by becoming a certified Zonehead. Just search Zoneheads Orlando, also found on Instagram and on YouTube. Thank you so much for your support day in and day out on the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. Make sure to throw us a follow, rate us, review us. We greatly appreciate it. And we're back with more episodes this week. Stay tuned for tomorrow's underreported episode with host Greg Rhodes. Chat soon, Zoneheads.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.